right. I think we are live now in our Facebook group. Again, this is Dr. Mike Chua, physical therapist and certified dementia practitioner. And today we have a special guest. We are here in our Alzheimer's and dementia support group. Let me just go check my Facebook page here. I think I lost the connection there for a minute, but I just would like to welcome our special guest, Michelle. I hope I'm saying your name right. Her last name, Michelle Eliasson.
Eliasson, you're close, Mike.
Oh, gosh.
I'll Eliasson. Give it to you.
So, oh, gosh, I'm so sorry, Michelle. We've been talking for so long,
okay.
And I
it's
can't
okay.
even pronounce your last name. But
everyone calls me Elton anyway, so it's okay.
There you go. Well, anyway, if you are watching live, please comment live in our Alzheimer's and Dementia Support Group. If you're watching on the replay, please comment replay. We're also going to put this in the units in our learning because we've changed our Alzheimer's and Dementia Support Group. We've changed it to a social learning so much so you could learn about Alzheimer's and dementia. And the reason why we just want to provide this best value, wherein we interview different practitioners, physicians, therapists, nurses, attorneys, and that way we can provide the best value for you and our group. So before, without further ado, I would like to introduce Michelle. She is obviously a wife, a mother, an occupational therapist, an entrepreneur, wherein she owns Buffalo Occupational Therapy in Buffalo, New York, and she's also the owner and the founder of Aging with Purpose. She's from New Jersey.
Yes.
And now she's in New York. I mean, I know there's a difference. I've been to New Jersey and New York. But again, thank you very much, Michelle, for coming over. Tell us what I missed. Reintroduce yourself. And please tell us what we can learn from you today.
Sure. My name is Michelle. As Mike said, thank you for that introduction. I started my own business in 2016, where our mission is to help individuals stay and make and enable them to be able to make the choice where they live throughout their lifespan. So if they want to stay in their home, regardless of what they're facing, we want to help them do that. It's called Aging in Place. And so Aging with Purpose promotes that. And we offer a lot of community programs and care management in order to help individuals, despite what they may be facing, stay in the community. And that includes having Alzheimer's and dementia. A lot of people don't know that there's so many people living in the community with, you know, mild Alzheimer's, and you can do that with the right oversight. So that's part of what Aging with Purpose does. And then in 2018, we opened the clinical side of Aging with Purpose, which is Buffalo Occupational Therapy. And that's when we treat people one-on-one. We have a clinic in the community, but we also work in their home. We specialize in geriatric rehabilitation. So a lot of our clients are individuals with progressive neurological diseases like Alzheimer's, Lewy body dementia, other forms of dementias, Parkinson's, MS, things like that.
Oh, wow. Amazing. When you mentioned Aging in Place, and we need that service really in our community, and not just there in New York. I mean, not just here in Tennessee, and everywhere, you know. And could you explain to us what this Aging in Place really means? And, you know, I mean, I know it, you know it, yeah. Other therapists, nurses, physicians, they know it. But a lot of people from other areas, they don't know it. But before you answer that, I just want to give a shout out to Andrew. He says hi from New Jersey.
Hello.
So thank you very much for watching, Andrew. So and then for those people who are watching, whether you are in the live stream or on the replay, please put a question for me or for Michelle. We're here to help you out and bring out the best in you. So somebody's watching from California. Alyssa is from California. So if you are here coming to you live, you know, put in where you're from. What do you guys do? What are your questions? So let me go back to Michelle. Can you tell us again what this?
Sorry about my dog in the background. Yes. So right. aging up in place, you're going to hear that phrase a lot, I think, moving forward, because there's a lot of states going to be promoting this. It's being able to choose where you live throughout your lifespan. So being able to live in your community with support services, with therapies, with working with a bunch of disciplines, right? In order to, no matter what you're facing, whether it's a chronic illness or Alzheimer's and dementia, to be able to age in the place of your choice. So whatever that looks like in your home, if it's living with your loved one, it's supporting your family, right? Or supporting the community you live in, whether it's an independent senior living community, or even as you move into an assisted living facility, we just want to keep you where you choose, whatever that looks like to you.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, before I ride on with that, I just want to give a shout out again to Alan. He's one of our VA that works in the Philippines. And Lisa, she's from Weston, Florida. Thank you very much for watching. So I just want to ride on to what Michelle was pointing. You know, basically what she was talking about is you're aging in the place that you want to get old.
Yes.
And a lot of our, you know, a lot of our patients or clients that are in the nursing home, they are actually prematurely placed in that facility. And guess what? If you have dementia and you get put in a new environment, what happens to their brain? Guess what? They just get confused.
Yes.
And I grew up in the Philippines. Okay. I grew up in the Philippines. I was born and raised there. I came here 2011. I'm still learning English and I'm still processing everything in my brain while talking to Michelle. Talking about English and translating it my language very quickly and then translating it back to English. See, I even got lost there.
That's amazing though.
And then imagine if I, and then you put me prematurely in a nursing home, I will get confused and then I will start having behaviors. And that's the purpose of aging in place. You want to put somebody, you want to put your loved ones in a place that they're very comfortable and that they're actually, you know, growing there in the right way. Is that correct there, Michelle?
Yeah, it's interesting that you said that because that's part of the reason why I started Aging with Purpose. I have my background in skilled nursing. I was a director of rehab in two facilities in Nebraska. And that was where the core of my experience came from. And so one of the services we offer within Aging with Purpose is a transition service. So we encourage anybody who may be worried about their loved one, or if they themselves are concerned that they need to transition out of their home, we advocate for a full evaluation, cognitive, occupational, so the ability to do activities that are meaningful to them, functional, and physical. So does that transition really need to take place? Because like you said, individuals who are moved prematurely, they don't necessarily need to be moved. If that person is not on board with the decision and feels and has the perception that they're in control of their decisions, that is it's very disruptive to them. Alzheimer's and dementia, as you know, affects that the limbic system, that's your mood, right? And so when that mood is affected by being put into an environment that you don't know, that causes a lot of havoc on the brain. And so we want to protect that. And so part of my job is mediating for the loved one and the carer and say, okay, so this is where you're at and this is your function. And bring them there. Like, it's important to have all parties included in such a transition. So.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, thank you for pointing that out because you need to have support. You need to have somebody that's actually either going to help you transition or make the most out of that current situation.
Exactly.
And that's what you want. You know, you have an advocate that will actually help you because let's face it, not all physicians, we were just talking about this, Michelle and I privately, not all physicians will help you because their role as a physician, as a medical doctor, their role is to provide medication. All this other stuff, yes, there are awesome physicians out there, awesome practitioners. They don't know of the other resources. So you have to go to an advocate, to a person whose specialty is actually doing this. Same thing with therapy. You know, if I have, let's just say I have a shoulder pain, I won't just go to a regular physical therapist. I will go to a physical therapist who knows a lot about shoulder. And same thing with Alzheimer's and dementia. You need to go to a practitioner, a physician that will actually help you guide through this process, who really understand not just the medical process, but the social part too.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Very well said.
There you go. Are you also seeing the Facebook stuff, Michelle? No?
No, I'm not. I don't see anything but the video. I'm sorry.
There are some several stuff here. Andrew said that he is carrying someone who has dementia. And there's a question from Alyssa. How does taking a week camping trip affect my loved ones? We're planning a family trip for Father's Day, and my mom has dementia, and I am her caretaker. She's healthy. Do you want me to answer that real quick too, or? You're a little bit frozen there, Michelle. While I don't know who's frozen, her or me, but I'm going to answer that real quick, Alyssa. I would first analyze what stage is mom. You know, what stage is mom? So I think there you go.
There we go. I caught that though. Are you bringing your loved one, or are you you're having somebody come to the home to watch your loved one? What does that look like? I missed that part.
Okay, let me recap the question. Okay. She's asking, how does taking a week camping a camping trip? Basically, she's taking her mother that has dementia to a camping trip. Oh gosh, English. I'm running out of English. It's way past my English time. It's 6 o'clock. So how does she's going to take her mother
to
a camping trip?
I have it pulled up here. So you ended it with she's healthy. I'm not sure what that means as far as where she's at with her dementia or how that's presenting. But I can tell you that someone's environment plays a huge, huge role for them. And if somebody is progressing in their dementia and they have that progressive dementia, right? Somebody can have general memory changes. And that's dementia. That's like a general word, but they can also have a progressive nature dementia like Alzheimer's. Right. And so it really depends where she's at, but pulling somebody from their routines and habits, depending on where they're at in the course of their, changes. I want to say changes because, you know, it's a diagnosis, but depending on where they're at can be very disruptive. I'll be very honest with you. It can cause behaviors, right? Disorientation. It can even affect their physical side of things, because when they're trying to cope with the changing environment, that's a lot of extra brain activity that they have to kind of sort through and deal with. And so while they're doing that, they can't use the same parts of their brains to control their physical nature. So a lot of the times there might be falls or things like that because they're trying to focus so much on the change that's happening around them. So it's tough to say. I would need to know a little bit more information, but on a personal note, my grandmother, she had Alzheimer's, and when she was in that mild, moderate, she went to visit another family member for a week. My mother was the primary caregiver, and she fell 3 times. And she had a short decline. She came back around, right, with therapy and the right interventions once she got home, but it's very disruptive. So you just want to make sure that you're doing it in the right way and supporting her as much as possible, because it also could be a very delightful time and very encouraging to be around family. So you just want to do it in the most supportive way possible.
Perfect. I couldn't agree more. So, first of all, just a disclaimer, we are not her therapist. We are not her physician or doctor or anything right now, but it's just a general educational thing. So, I agree with Michelle, Alyssa. You mentioned that she has vascular dementia. So the key here is, because you're the primary caregiver, you know your loved ones, you know them well. So like what Michelle said, it really depends on that patient stage. Mm-hmm. If they're on that early stage that they can still cope and they can still adjust, that's good. You know, it's a good outlet. It's a good way. You know, we even do it at the nursing home. We take them out, you know, go out on a drive around with the top down car and everything like that. But if it's a whole week, a new environment, a new bed, a new pathway to go to the bathroom, if they have their routine, they go to a different way to go to a bathroom, they're going to get confused. Behavior starts, circadian rhythm changes. If it's there's change in your time zone, sundowning increases. So, I mean, I'm 42. All right. When I go out, well, I haven't been going out. We haven't been going, you know, in a vacation. But last time when we went out and stayed in a hotel, I woke up in the middle of the night at 2 o'clock and I got startled for a second or two. I'm like, where am I? And I just realized, oh, I'm in a vacation. Because it's a new bed, a new situation. It's so normally in the nursing home, in the hotel, it's dark, right? Because you close all the curtains and everything. And I'm like, oh gosh, where am I? I'm opening up my eyes where am I? And I just realized, oh, I'm in a vacation with my family. I'm considered normal. You know, I don't know. I'm considered normal, but we're considered normal. And I get confused. What more for your loved ones, right? In my house, this is our bedroom. I normally get out on the left side of the bed because that's the bathroom there. Even though at nighttime it's dark, I can get up. I can put on my slippers where I left. I can stand up and go straight to my bathroom. Of course, I raise up the seat and everything, right? I know the way to TMI, right? But imagine if it's a new environment, a new hotel, and I used to travel to speak, I always get confused. Yeah. So play it by ear, Alyssa. You know, we're not talking. We're not right. You know, we're just telling you what could happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she is saying, you make great sense. I will take your advice and talk to her about all of this. That's good. Communication is the key. Communicate, communicate, communicate. She said, I don't know what stage she's in. You need to go talk to the doctor and a neurologist, a speech therapist, occupational therapist. They have this special test that they can do. Reach out to Michelle. She can do, what do you call this? That SLUMS test, SLUMS,
yeah.
The GDS, Global Deterioration Scale test. So there are a lot of tests that you can do. Why do you want to stage? Why do you want to stage a person? Do you want to know how bad they are? No. You want to know where they at.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you don't know where they at, how could you know if they're getting worse or not?
Yes, yes.
So you have to know where they at right now. There are different tests. Some tests, you know, they have 7 stages. Some they have like 3 only, mild, moderate, severe. But you have to know where it's at. You know, you need to have that standardized test. Okay. Before I keep going.
Just to bounce off of that real quick. Another reason why, just bouncing off of what Mike said, is I work with the 7 stages. So we like break it up just because we can refine our interventions based on each stage and be like super specific, because there's so much research out there for each stage. And so there's so many things that you can do if you know what part of the brain is generally being affected in each stage. We know exactly how we can help to kind of protect the brain. We can kind of slow things down as much as possible to keep the body in control of these changes. So that's another reason why it's important to stage.
Perfect. Perfect. She mentioned, I don't know if you heard it, ladies and gentlemen, she mentioned about different parts of the brain affect different parts of your body, you know? So somebody mentioned earlier about Lewy body, frontotemporal, vascular dementia. Alyssa, you mentioned about vascular dementia. When you say vascular, means blood supply. So you don't know which part of the brain lacks blood supply. It could be the right side. It could be the left side. It could be the front part. It could be the limbic system. It could be the brain stem. We don't know. So every part of the brain affects different parts. Every part of their, every.
But it affects different symptoms, right? Yeah. So when one area of the brain is affected, it's going to affect how you're doing a certain activity. So based on, you know, right and left discrimination, or is there some difficulty there? Well, then we know, well, it's the parietal lobe, right? There's something changing there. So it's just a matter of having a conversation and really getting to the nitty gritty of it, so that we can best help you.
Perfect. There you go. There you go. So learning and identifying which part of the brain is affected is very, very important. Why? Because you could aggravate it. You know, if I have a left, let's just talk about stroke. If I have a left-sided stroke, am I pointing the left? I'm pointing my left here. If I have this side of my body that has decrease in blood supply, and the responsibilities, language and learning, and I keep on assisting, you need to, you gotta learn, you gotta learn, you gotta learn. Guess what? They're not gonna learn anymore. And you're just aggravating them more. So every different parts of your brain affects different function. Alyssa is saying, here's my email, so you can send me anything. You know, you can reach out. We're gonna talk about Michelle's email and website. You can do that. You can also reach out or download my free ebook. It's free. It's at my website, drmikechua.com. And then it's like $3 something at Amazon. I don't even earn anything for it. It's just like the print cost. So you can get that there. And then you can also reach out to Michelle. She's very good. And she also offers telehealth, by the way, you know, telemedicine and, you know, talking like this over a Zoom call. Before we keep going, Michelle, could you give us three tips that we can learn on how to take care of our Alzheimer's and dementia patients?
Yeah. So I think the first one, we kind of touched on it, and it's communication. And well, it's not only important to communicate with your loved one, right, and protect that relationship that's constantly changing, but more specifically right now, I just want to suggest that you communicate with your doctor, or try to find somebody, a confidant, what I do for my patients, because sometimes it is very difficult to talk to your primary care physician, right? This person who is the gatekeeper of your health. Sometimes it's hard because you're there with your loved one and you don't want to upset them. You don't want to offend them, right? You don't want to make them feel like they're changing. But you also are very concerned about the symptoms. So you kind of hold back. And so you don't have that conversation. Another thing is, you get there and you're ready to talk and you just forget, right? You forget what you've been seeing during the week or the last month. These things that you say, well, I got to talk to the doctor about this when we go in, you just kind of forget because you're in the moment and it's hard. So making sure that you build a tracking system, whatever that looks like to you, if you start a journal, right? A journal of things that you see to document the symptoms, document changes that you see, even mood changes, balance changes, things like that, because it's important to the reason why it's important to document, and I think I'm switching from communication to tracking. So let's start with tracking. The first tip is tracking, because immediately when we have a diagnosis of Alzheimer's or another form of dementia, we think every change is staging. Every single change is dementia. And we get that from medical providers, right? But you have to understand that we're all aging as well. So your body is going through these natural changes that are happening with an Alzheimer's or dementia diagnosis, and that amplifies it. But that does not mean that you're staging. It could very well be corrected by just having like a vision test, right? And getting your glasses changed. An example of that would be, I was working with somebody and the family was concerned that mom was changing in her memory and she's falling all of the time. And what is going on? Mom doesn't want to talk about it because she doesn't want to admit that, you know, her brain may be changing and that's what's causing all of these physical problems. And so together I said, well, you know what, let's get to the root of it. Let's call your eye doctor. And so we set up an appointment together. She went in and it wasn't even a visual change. It wasn't had anything to do with her brain. She had dry eye, which was causing double vision, and that was causing all of her falls. And so that's why it's so important to track the symptoms and then take that step to talk to somebody. If you're unable to communicate with your current physician, then find a clinician, right? Like an occupational therapist who specializes in this, and have somebody to to go over each symptom with, because we like, it just takes problem solving a lot of the times in early intervention. If mom or dad keep falling off of the toilet, right, or they're unable to do those mechanics, it could just be that there's a little bit of what's called gravitational insecurity, and they're just, you know, that depth, they don't know like where it is. And so it may not be staging. It may just be, let's put a piece of adaptive equipment down and there you go. No problem. Right. So the first part would be tracking. Sorry, should I keep going or should I stop?
Go. The first part is tracking. Okay. I like that.
I'm trying to keep going.
I like what you said. You got to learn how to track, you know, because just like scheduling something, if you don't write it down, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. That's why we have the book called Caregiver Freedom Journal. And that's why we recommend that you journal stuff. Because same thing with therapy, same thing with, you know, in any kind of profession. You need to write it down in order for you to know, in order for you to know if you're progressing or not. Just like staging. How would you know? Even the Bible itself, you know, God asked somebody, you know, whoever who wrote the Bible, different disciples or, you know, he had somebody to write it in order for it to become a reality. And you have to write it down. You have to write it down, you know, not just for your own self, but also for record keeping purposes. And the next thing that Michelle mentioned is communication. How can you communicate to someone if you haven't written it? Because it becomes, it only becomes a reality if you write it down and then learning how to communicate it to somebody. So if you write it down, look, let's just say, for example, you wrote down, you know, even nurses does this, mom peed like, you know, whatever, X amount of ml. And then the following day, she's not peeing. It's what, you know, that could be dehydration, UTI, whatever. And now you got to do that. You got to take care of that. So you have to write it down. Caregiver Freedom Journal, right? whatever journal you want to do. I have a journal here I put down everything, you know, to do my stuff every day. You got to write it down.
There's apps as well. If you're like more of an app person, I'm sure there's like tracking apps that you can download. It can be, or even a note in the notepad in your phone, right? Yeah. Just carry it around just real quick. Just write it down so that like, as professionals, we say, if you don't write it down, it didn't happen. Put it down so that when you look back, you can say, oh, you know, that is true. A month ago, she was doing this and this. And now, wow, it's been like instant. What is going on? It's like night and day. And then that will give your medical provider a little bit more background, not to say, oh, well, mom can't do this. And all of a sudden they say, well, it's just like dementia. But if you have proof that, you know, no, this is how it was a week ago and this is how it is now, then we say, maybe there's something else causing this problem. Yeah. But if it's not so documented, true. We forget.
That is so true. I love that. I love that. And also communication, like what Michelle said, because, you know, you can be writing it down, but if you're not communicating it to your provider, communicating it to your family members,
yes.
You know, just remember, this is not just mom's disease or dad's disease. This is a family disease.
Yes.
I'm not saying because you're going to get it too, but it means it's the whole dynamic. It's going to affect it. Mm-hmm. So you have to communicate that information to your family and friends, because here's the thing. Okay. Here's the thing. If mom is irritated with that certain question, and then that other family member is so used to asking that same question, guess what? You're increasing that agitation to your loved ones. So let's just say, you know, let's just say simple open-ended question. If you ask mom, for example, hey, what do you want to wear today? It's a what open-ended question. Mom's going to process that information and she's going to get mad if she cannot find that correct answer. And guess what? You're doing it and then you've got another family member coming in. Hey, mom, what do you want to wear today? Same question. She's going to get irritated.
Yes.
But if you know how to use the right questioning, do you want to wear this blue shirt today? Do you want to wear this blue blouse or whatever? A close-ended question. And then you educate and communicate to your other family member. Guess what? You're decreasing that agitation to your family member. Thank you for pointing that out, sister. So
love that. So important.
All right. Anything else?
I think the last thing, just real quick, would be physical activity. It is very easy to let that go because of the physical changes, right? If your sensory, if your feet aren't feeling the same way, if your hands aren't feeling the same way, and your vision is affected, then we don't want to move, right? Because moving reminds us that our body is changing. And so with that, physical activity kind of like gets less and less and less, but physical activity, it has been proven to correlate with your brain activity and function. Physical activity helps protect your brain. And even in the mild stages, throughout the mild stages of Alzheimer's, your brain has what's called, like Mike, you know all about this, neuroplasticity. And it's been proven that your brain can still heal itself, right? It can still rewire to help you function. And it wants to do that. Physical activity helps that. That's why I advocate for any physical activity you can get, the better. Keep moving. I know it's very difficult to encourage our loved ones through this because there is some apathy, right? And some lethargy. And it's hard because I don't want to exercise, right? It's like, some days I'm like forcing myself. But when that part of the brain is affected, it's a little bit more difficult. But I am telling you, throughout every stage, physical activity is so important. And so that's why I do recommend talking to your doctor about therapy, talking to your doctor about getting involved in physical therapy, occupational therapy, because we can help like that. We can help through the stages with the right brain and body exercises and interventions. But if you don't talk, right, if you don't document and then talk and then open that door to get a referral for occupational therapy, physical therapy, or even just be told that, hey, therapy might really help you, how will you know? You don't know what you don't know, right? So communicating and then keeping that physical activity going, it's so, so important.
Perfect. I couldn't agree more. Why? Because we're all therapists here and we always advocate therapeutic activities. Why? Yes. Because motion is the lotion to your joints. Yes. And remember, movement matters to your brain matter. What's your brain matter? Your brain. Movement matters to your brain matter. So you got to make sure you're moving. Move, 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 ladies and gentlemen. I mean, look at me. How long have we been talking here, sister? Like 30 minutes. I don't know if you see me. I'm moving left and right because my body, your body's made to move. Okay. Your body is made to move. That's why it's called muscle. What does muscle means? Myo. What does myo means in the Greek or whatever term that is? Myo means mouse or move. Have you seen a mouse that doesn't move? Mm-hmm. The only mouse that doesn't move is a dead mouse, right? It keeps on moving. If you see them, they move around. So the muscle move. Okay. All right. Thank you very much there, Michelle. And Alyssa here says, good to know we walk 3 times a week, the small neighborhood walks. That is perfect. That is perfect. And she also mentioned that she had many mini strokes, TIA. That's very good for those who don't know. TIA means transient ischemic attacks, transient ischemic attacks, and had 95% in her artery blockage. Oh wow. So she had that carotid artery surgery, I assume. So all right. And then there's a question here by Andrew. That's a very great question, Andrew, if you're still watching and listening. He's asking, is epilepsy and dementia the same thing, Michelle? You want to answer that?
Yeah, sure. So so epilepsy, any kind of brain occurrence, right, can affect. Dementia is an umbrella word. So dementia means memory, basically memory changes, memory loss. Your memory is disrupted. So dementia can be caused by a lot of different things, and it's not necessarily permanent, right? So somebody can have a form of dementia that can come from a traumatic brain injury, but that can be rehabilitated, right? So dementia is just a word for memory changes. Your memory is being affected, okay? So epilepsy may cause dementia, and it may disrupt your brain's ability to comprehend or recall information. But no, it's not the same thing. Two separate things. Please hop in, and if you have some more information too.
I'm going to just put my 2 cents there. Yeah. Okay. So epilepsy is the sign or the symptoms, okay, of an underlying cause or underlying disease. So if, for example, you have a lack of oxygenation to your brain, there's not enough circulation there, and that synapses there in your brain is being affected, you get epileptic attack, okay? Just like a fever. Fever is the sign and the symptoms, but what is causing the fever? What is causing the fever? It could be an open wound that has infection. It could be an internal infection in your body. It could be an appendicitis. Appendicitis means your appendix are inflamed, if you hear the word itis. And the result of that, that appendicitis, is fever. Same thing with epilepsy. Epilepsy is the sign of underlying reason. So it could be, what are the causes of epileptic attack? Obviously, infection in your brain. Meningitis, okay, your meninges are inflamed. So itis, if you hear the word itis, means either inflammation or infection. So you hear the word tonsillitis, your tonsils are inflamed. Appendicitis, your appendix are inflamed. Or meningitis, your meninge in your brain are inflamed or infected. And the end result of that is epileptic attack, because that is the transmission of information there. Same thing with dementia. Dementia is the symptom. What causes dementia is either Alzheimer's, Parkinson's type of dementia, Lewy body type of dementia, Crutchfield type of dementia, frontotemporal dementia. There's hundreds of dementia. So that's the answer there. So thank you for pointing that out, Michelle. So
I like that. That's good. You communicate very well, Mike.
Well, thank you, because English is not my first language. I try my best, and it's way past my English time. So, all right. Any last parting wisdom for us, Michelle? I really enjoyed talking to you today. Any last wisdom, like a one big tip for us caregivers out there that you can provide?
Have grace on yourself. You're going through a lot, and you're handling everything. And so have grace on yourself, be patient with yourself, and don't feel, this is a big, heavy, this is like a heavy, heavy sentence, but try to let go of the guilt, because everybody is just doing the best that they can in the situation that they are in with the tools that they have been given. And so just have that grace on yourself and reach out, communicate. There's so many people here for you to give you questions and empower you with knowledge, right, that you can apply to your lives and your relationships.
Perfect. Perfect. I love that. Give grace to yourself. You know, I mean, even God himself, he gave grace to us, and he gave grace to himself, you know, Jesus Christ himself. So don't be too hard on yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, Alzheimer's and Dementia Support Group, whether you're a person that has dementia or taking care of a loved one that has dementia, give grace to yourself, because here's the thing. Self-care is not selfish. Mm. Self-care is not selfish. You got to take care of yourself, ladies and gentlemen. You cannot give what you do not have. Okay, you cannot give what you do not have. That's why it's called caregiving. That's why there's called caregiver burnout. Because you're giving so much, and you've lost that, you know, you've lost, just like money. You know, I cannot give money to my kids if I don't have money myself. And I keep on giving. And now I don't have any money, right? Same thing with caregiving. If you keep on giving and giving that care to your loved ones, and you're not taking care of yourself, guess what? You're going to burn out. When you burn out, guess what? You're going to get sick. When you get sick, guess what? Who's going to take care of the loved ones? So you got to take care of yourself, ladies and gentlemen. In that way, you can take care of your loved ones more. And evidence-based show. It is evidence. I'm not just saying this. Caregivers who's taking care of their loved ones pass away earlier before their loved ones, because they're not taking care of themselves. Hmm. You got to go to your doctor, have your blood pressure check, have your heart rate check, blood sugar check, cholesterol, I'm talking to myself, right?
You, me both.
And I got high blood pressure. You know, you gotta go to your doctor, guys, ladies and gentlemen, because you gotta take care of yourself. You know, I mean, who's gonna take care of my family if I get sick, right? So you gotta take care of yourself, ladies and gentlemen. Argelia said, I'm learning to let go now that we're in quarantine. There you go, learning to let go. So, all right. Well, again, thank you very much, Michelle, for coming over. Where can we reach you? If you can, you know, tell us your number, your website, and that way we can reach out to you too if we're there in New Jersey or New York, if we got any patients there, or also your telehealth services, if you can let us know.
We provide telehealth services, so you're absolutely able to go to our main website is www.agingwithpurpose.org. We also provide those services. The clinical portion of that is a separate website, www.buffalooccupationaltherapy.com. And you can book appointments or evaluations or consults right there online. And then we will just confirm that with you. So you're able to do that right through the website. But certainly if you have any questions or need to reach out, I can provide my email as well. And we can, is there a way to post that for them?
In the comments? You can post it in the chat box or whatever. I can also put it on the top, on the video itself.
Mm-hmm. You're able to actually find all of my contact information right on the website as well. So if you go to the website, everything is housed there with our phone numbers, our email addresses, just kind of the information that you may need, some services that we offer. We work with people throughout online, right? So we can have this kind of relationship and help you work through those stages, right? And really be a source of be a confidant for you, but also an advocate for you, and really help you take the journey, right? We can help you along that journey. So go to the website and you'll find that information.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much, Michelle. But before I let you go, ladies and gentlemen, always remember the word FAST, F-A-S-T. Why? You got to take action fast. You know, when you want to get better, you need to take action fast. And even any medication, you want fast, right? You know, your fast acting medication. You want the fast microwave. You want the fast food. So same thing with life. You know, remember the F-A-S-T. Letter F. Find friends. Find people that will support you. Okay? Because you are the average of the five people you hang out with. If you're hanging out with caregivers or loved ones that are actually going to help you out, guess what? You're going to be awesome, right? If you're hanging out with those people that are complaining about their life, guess what? You're going to start complaining too, because there's this part in your brain called reticular activating system. And we talk about this too. It's called reticular activating system. You find what you're looking for. You find what you're looking for. And even dementia patients, they know this. They know this deep inside. If you're finding fault in that dementia patient or dementia loved ones, guess what? It's going to be magnified. So find friends that will actually help you and push you to your next level. Go to your local Alzheimer's Association. Go to your physician. Ask for resources or go check out Buffalo Occupational Therapy website. All right? What's the next letter? Letter A. Letter A. Just realize I have my shirt there. Letter A, you got to learn how to take action. All this stuff that we're doing, it's free. Michelle has dedicated like almost an hour of her time. It's all free. You got to learn how to take action, ladies and gentlemen, because it's not going to do me good. It's not going to do you good if you don't take action. Reach out to her, talk to her, and that way you can bring out the best in, not only for you, but also for your loved one. Letter S, share and subscribe to our podcast. Share and subscribe to our show. Share and subscribe to all this Alzheimer's and the support group, because the more people we help, the better, because sharing is caring. And last but not the least, letter T, not timeout, but letter T, teach it. Why? Because when you hear it, you forget. When you see it, you remember. But when you're actually teaching it, you're actually understanding it more. And that's what Michelle is doing. She's teaching us how to be a better caregiver. Again, thank you very much, Michelle. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Alzheimer's and Dementia Support Group, I appreciate you. I'm going to turn over to our closing slide, and we're going to start. I lost that music for a second. So, again, where did that music go? Come on, Michelle, help me out here.
I wish I could.
Is it playing? No.
Nice slide, though. Nice slide.
Nice slide.
I'm just kidding. How
about that there? Again, thank you very much, Alzheimer's and Dementia Support Group. We appreciate you. You have a good night. Thank you, Michelle.
Bye.